Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 46 of the Playoff Push Podcast. Today, I'm your host, Jack Dobbins. We're going to go over the All-Star Weekend for 2025, as well as looking into the second half of the season, which begins today, Friday, July 18th. So first off, we're going to go to the most important part of All-Star Weekend, which is the All-Star game itself. Tarik Skubal versus Paul Skeens was the original starting pitcher matchup. However, Skubal, despite being the American League Cy Young frontrunner, got crushed in the first inning. Ketel Marte with a two-run double to put the National League on the board first. That scored Ohtani and Acuna, two guys who were also having incredible seasons. And the scoring would go silent. It would be a 2-0 ball game until the sixth inning, in which with Brendan Donovan and Fernando Tatis on the corners, nobody gone, Alonso, a three-run bomb into right near the chop house, putting the National League up 5-0. Corbin Carroll then hit a solo shot, moving the lead up to 6-0 National League. And crazy enough, the American League actually came back. Brent Rooker with a three-run bomb in the top of the seventh, putting the American League down 6-3, cutting the lead in half. Michael Garcia was walked, then stole second, and throwing error from Rockies catcher Hunter Goodman then put him at third, in which Bobby Witt Jr. scored him on a ground ball to second. And in the top of the ninth, down 6-4 still, Witt Jr. drove in Byron Buxton to cut it to a 6-5 lead for the National League. And with Witt Jr. on third, Stephen Kwan with a short grounder to third base, which the throw was not made in time, and the American League would score to tie the game at 6, and the National League would not score in the bottom of the ninth, heading to the first ever MLB All-Star Game swing-off home run derby. Now, in this situation, Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts have to choose three players to represent their leagues. Aaron Boone went the very controversial decision to select Jonathan Aranda from the Tampa Bay Rays, in addition to Randy Arozarena of the Seattle Mariners and Brent Rooker of the now cityless Athletics. Of course, Aranda, not known for his power, more so known for, you know, his bat, just batting average in general. He's hitting probably around 320, I would guess. Don't have the numbers up, probably 328, 329. He's having a great year in terms of singles and doubles, just not homers. So Rooker led it off pretty nicely with two bombs, in which Kyle Stowers of the Miami Marlins responded with one of his own. So a 2-1 lead for the American League heading into the second batter. Randy Arozarena would hit one of his own. The American League now with a 3-1 lead. However, Kyle Schwarber of the Philadelphia Phillies would step up to the plate. Schwarber with three home runs in three swings, putting the NL up 4-3. In which Aranda would end up not hitting a single homer. Pete Alonso wouldn't even need to step up to the plate. And the National League are credited with a 7-6 win, when in reality it's a 6-6 tied ball game in which the National League wins in swing off. So it will go down as a 7-6 National League win, but is the first ever All-Star game decided by a swing off in MLB history. National League wins a 2025 All-Star game. However, the winner of the 2025 Home Run Derby is representative from the American League. The first round resulted in Junior Caminero, O'Neill Cruz, Byron Buxton, and Cal Raleigh advancing to the second round. Now, Raleigh was very, very controversial because he beat Brent Rooker by less than a foot. They decided to go to the longest homer that each batter hit, both listed at 471 between Rooker and Raleigh. But Cal's was ever so slightly further. I believe they went down to like 5 decimal places in order to give Raleigh the win. Very controversial. A lot of people on MLB Twitter were like, what are you doing? We need to see a swing off in the first round to see who advances. And obviously it would have been so much more entertaining. However, MLB does what they want and Cal Raleigh advanced to round two. Then in round two was Cal Raleigh versus O'Neill Cruz, and Raleigh just beat O'Neill up. 19-13 win for Cal, hitting one 465. O'Neill hit one 498, but yet still six less than Big Dumper himself. And then it was Junior Caminero versus Byron Buxton. Buxton led off and only hit 7, so Caminero didn't need to do much more. He hit 8 of his own and advanced to the final round. And in that final round, Big Dumper sealed it. An 18-15 win over Junior Caminero to seal the Home Run Derby Championship for the Seattle Mariner representative. So Cal Raleigh wins this year's Derby, having a great year leading the league in homers so far. So obviously he was the front runner heading in. That's just how it is. And now we head to the MLB draft. The Washington Nationals held the first pick, a very controversial pick. Everyone's thinking, oh, if you're going to go a high school shortstop, you're going to go with Ethan Holliday. I mean, the son of Matt Holliday, the brother of Jackson Holliday. This kid's very good. However, they decided to go with Eli Willits, a kid who I quite frankly had never heard of until 2 days before the draft, at number one, a 6'1", 180-pound, 17-year-old shortstop. I was stunned. I was actually at work and I saw this draft pick and I was like, what on earth are we doing here? Because, everyone came into this draft thinking, Jamie Arnold and Ethan Holliday and Cade Anderson and Seth Hernandez from Corona High School. Those were the main guys on everyone's mind. Nobody was really thinking Eli Willits at the number one slot. Funny enough, Jamie Arnold actually fell to 11, but we'll get to there. Tyler Bremner then went 2 to the Angels. Cade Anderson, who a lot of people believe to be the best prospect overall in this draft, went 3rd to the Seattle Mariners. So the Mariners get another incredible pitcher, even though they already have one of the best staffs in all of MLB. Ethan Holliday goes 4 to the Rockies. Seth Hernandez, the high school star, 6'4", 190, goes to Pittsburgh at 6. And Jamie Arnold falls to 11 to the Athletics. The Florida State product has been seen as a top prospect for a long time and finally declared and finally got picked. A very interesting first round. Gage Wood went in the first round, 26th overall, to the Philadelphia Phillies. And he's a guy that you're going to want to keep an eye on because in the College World Series, he threw a no-hitter, striking out 19 batters. This guy played one of the best college baseball games I think I've ever seen from a pitcher. So having him in the Phillies minor leagues now, they might want to call him up like immediately. It's not impossible. Garrett Crochet went to the majors before playing a minor league game. So did Mike Leake back in 2014, a very solid pitcher of his own time. It's not very often, but you do see it happen. And the Phillies are in such a needy spot for their bullpen where I could see Gage Wood getting called up, almost immediately. And he's an incredible pitcher. We'll see what Philly decides to do. The New York Yankees, very interesting draft. Of course, I'm a Yankees fan. I need to go over it. The Yankees took a million shortstops, decided to take what they did last year with pitching and go with shortstops. Three of their first four picks were shortstops. Dax Kilby from Noonan High School in Georgia. We also took Kaden Kent, actually son of Jeff Kent, a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame from Texas A&M. And we took Cor Jackson from Utah. But that's going to do it for the draft. That was All-Star Weekend. Very interesting. National League winning the All-Star Game, American League winning the Home Run Derby, and the draft resulting in the future of MLB. However, now we're going to look into the second half of the MLB season. These divisions are currently stacking up very odd compared to what people would have expected. The Astros leading the American League West. A lot of people believe that was what happened, but it's pretty far out. Seattle is 5 games back, Texas 8.5, Angels 9, and the Athletics 16 games out of that. However, it's even further in the American League Central. Tigers on top by 11.5 games over the Twins. It's currently sitting at a 59-38 record. Royals 12 games back. Guardians also 12 games back. And Chicago 27 games back of Detroit. And whereas most people heading into the year would either have the Yankees, the Red Sox, or the Orioles winning the American League East, the Blue Jays are currently on top, 55-41. Yankees in second, 2 games back. Sox 3 back. Rays 5.5. And the Orioles having a terrible year, 11.5 back of the lead in last place. Phillies, Cubs, and Dodgers leading the National League divisions. The Mets are only half a game back of the Phillies, and the Brewers are only 1 game back of the Cubs. But the National League West, the Dodgers are running away with it despite practically their entire starting rotation being hurt the whole year. They are 58-39, 5.5 ahead of San Diego, 6 ahead of San Fran, 11 ahead of Arizona, and 35.5 ahead of Colorado. However, when we look at the strength of schedule for the remainder of the year, third highest in the entire league is the Boston Red Sox. They have a strength of schedule of 5-16, including 3 against the Tigers, 3 against the Dodgers, 3 against the Cubs, 6 against Houston, 3 against Philadelphia, and 3 against Toronto. So Boston has at least 3 games against every single current division leader. So Boston's in for a really tough time. The only two teams harder in terms of schedule are Cincinnati and Colorado, both of whom have their playoff hopes basically dashed at this point anyway. Fourth is Baltimore. So that practically eliminates them from playoff contention as well. However, fifth is Milwaukee, a team that is still very much in it. Only 1 game back of Chicago and 8-2 in their last 10. Now coming in with the fifth hardest schedule for the second half, they're going to need to play harder than they probably ever have in order to make a push towards winning the National League Central. Because right now, the wild card standings are, they're tight. But with a strength of schedule for the remainder of the year like that, it's going to be hard for them to really lock it down. Right now, they're leading by 4 games in first place ahead of the Mets and ahead of the Padres. But both the Mets and the Padres, the Mets actually have a really hard schedule as well, only 4 points lower than Milwaukee. So they could potentially stay over the Mets in terms of record. But the Padres have a pretty easy schedule, 483, the fourth easiest for the second half. So expect San Diego to make a jump in the wild card standings. San Francisco also has pretty easy schedule at 491. So they could also jump. And currently in the fifth place spot is St. Louis. And they are 19th in strength of schedule, a 496 for the remainder of the year. But a team to keep an eye on is the Toronto Blue Jays, the 10th hardest schedule remaining, 508, including 4 against Detroit, 3 against the Dodgers, 3 against the Cubs, 3 against the Brew Crew, 3 against Houston, and 6 remaining against the New York Yankees. So a lot on the table for some, playoff teams, including Boston, Milwaukee, the Mets, and the Blue Jays. The remainder of the top 10 is really teams that are out of it at this point. So those are the teams that really need to watch out. The easiest remainders in the league are Cleveland at the easiest, followed by Houston, Chicago, San Diego, Detroit, and LA. So that is 4 division leaders right there, as well as San Diego, who would probably lead the other 2 divisions. So that will really make sure those teams can lock up their spots in the postseason. San Fran, again, pretty easy schedule, as well as Seattle, who could possibly fight back for an American League wild card spot, currently in the final slot of the wild card, 1.5 ahead of Tampa Bay. So that's what it's looking like in terms of strength of schedule. So now I will be making my mid-season predictions to see where I believe these teams will finish in terms of standings and the wild card. I do believe the New York Yankees will win the American League East. Of course, I am a Yankees fan. I'm very biased. I'm currently wearing the jersey of the Yankees captain and the American League captain this year, Aaron Judge. However, I do believe the Yankees will keep this division. We're getting guys back. We're getting Luis Gil back soon. We're getting our team fully healthy, and we're going to make some moves at the deadline. We need a third baseman. We need some pitching help, starter or bullpen. Either works. But the Yankees will get what they need at the deadline, I can hope, and make a push. I don't see Toronto keeping this streak going. The Yankees have a differential of plus 111, and the Blue Jays are only plus 17 in terms of runs. The Yankees have almost 100 more runs compared to their competition than the Blue Jays. It's not sustainable. The Blue Jays are just having a great streak, and that's how it is. The Yankees have an expected win-loss of 59 and 37. So they are doing worse than their projection. However, Toronto is 50 and 46 projected, and they're doing way better. This is just dumb luck, and the Blue Jays will not stick. I predict the New York Yankees will win the American League East, and the Boston Red Sox will clinch a wild card spot, as well as the Tampa Bay Rays. I think the Toronto Blue Jays fall entirely out of it. I don't think they will be in the playoff picture come the end of the season. So that's that. American League East. Yankees win. Sox and Rays both get wild card spots. AL Central, there's no question. Detroit's winning. We can move on. AL West, I believe Houston will stay on top. A very competitive division this year in the middle of it with Seattle, Texas, and LA. But I think the final American League wild card spot will go to the Seattle Mariners. They have just too good of a pitching staff, and this offense has been playing much worse than they've been predicted to be, despite some people hoping Cal Raleigh to win MVP. Randy Arozarena with an 820 OPS. However, when you really look at it, This team is playing pretty underwhelmingly. Julio Rodriguez, a 730 OPS. JP Crawford, 782. Jorge Polanco, 786. Just so much potential on this roster that hasn't hit its apex. I mean, we know what Julio can do. A 730 OPS is not what he's limited to. If he catches a hot streak, he could really help Seattle move past some other teams in this playoff race. So I think Seattle locks down the final wild card spot. Houston will maintain the American League West. So in the National League, I do think that the Los Angeles Dodgers will keep the division. They have been getting screwed over relentlessly by pitching injuries, only pitching. Their offense has remained pretty healthy throughout the year, but the pitching has really been getting crushed by the injury bug. But I think that the fact that they are still leading the National League in record, despite not having a real rotation, is just proof that they are the best team in baseball, and I don't think anyone can argue it. So the Dodgers, I think, will win the National League West and be the one seed in the National League. I think that's logical. I think the San Francisco Giants will get a higher seed than the San Diego Padres. I know, it's crazy. Everyone's like, oh, the Padres, Tatis, Machado, and all these guys. San Fran is just playing so well compared to what everyone thought they would do. I don't think anybody expected them to be in the race with San Diego this far into the year. I saw a lot of people who had Arizona astronomically over them. Of course, Arizona should have been over them. However, Corbin Burns going down and their entire team just getting hurt is not easy to come back from. However, I think the Dodgers win the division and both the Giants and Padres get wild card spots. However, we go to the National League Central. And despite Chicago currently leading the division, I don't think they win it. I think that the Milwaukee Brewers will take the division. And if I had to tell you one reason why, it's Brandon Woodruff. Brandon Woodruff finally came back after a 2-year injury, just slamming injury after injury. He's finally back. He's pitching pretty well in his first couple starts. I think Woodruff's going to be enough to push them over Chicago. Chicago with a very hot start, an incredible record at home. They are truly just doing incredible at 30-16 at Wrigley Field. But Milwaukee is just finally getting guys back. Guys are starting to heat up. Yelich is absolutely blistering at the plate. He's playing pretty well. There's so much potential in this Milwaukee Brewers offense that just hasn't been tapped into yet. Yelich and Churio, it seems like they're having great years. However, their OPSs are only at 797 and 758. Rhys Hoskins is at 768, as well as Sal Frelick at 758. But that's it. Their offense really doesn't have anyone else contributing. I mean, Andrew Vaughn with 5 games and an OPS of 1500. The guy who, was sent down by the White Sox despite being a top prospect just because he was underperforming, now coming to Milwaukee, only 5 games in, but hitting the cover off of the baseball. Milwaukee has so much untapped potential in offense, and their pitching is doing their thing. Freddie Peralta, 2.66 ERA, Chad Patrick, 3.52, Quinn Priester, 3.55. And everyone on this roster is just throwing the baseball incredibly. And when the offense heats up, I think it's going to be more than enough to take down the Chicago Cubs. So mark it down, 2025 National League Central champions is going to be the Milwaukee Brewers. I think the Cubs will take a wild card spot. So I think the wild card will be San Fran, San Diego, and Chicago, meaning I think the Mets will fall out of it. They are playing incredibly at home. However, I don't think this team has what it takes to last. Their offense is currently playing out of their minds. Juan Soto a 905, Pete Alonso a 908 in terms of OPS. Their pitching, I don't think, will maintain itself. David Peterson, a 306 ERA, Taylor Miguel, a 395, Clay Holmes, a 331. Kodai Senga, a 139. I mean, Senga is going to do Senga things. He is an incredible pitcher. Griffin Canning, a 377. Every one of their starters is pitching sub four ball. The offense can do its thing. These are all notable guys. Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Lindor, Nimmo, all offensive prodigies. This pitching staff was not really seen as that much entering the year, and I think they will fall back to earth. I think they'll finish maybe one game, if maybe even half a game, out of the wild card between either Chicago or San Diego. I think San Fran takes the number one spot in the wild card. I think Chicago takes the two. San Diego takes the three, and San Fran takes the one. However, we'll see how it ends up. But that is my current prediction. So I believe for the National League, it'll be the Dodgers taking the one seed. The Phillies will be taking the two seed, and the Brewers will be taking the three, followed by the Giants in the four, the Cubs in the five, and the Padres in the six. And in the American League, I will go with the Tigers at the one seed, the Astros at the two seed, the Yankees at the three seed, the Red Sox at the four, the Mariners at the five, and the Rays at the six. And I believe your World Series matchup will be Detroit versus Los Angeles, a one seed matchup. Whoever would have guessed? And I think your winners are going to be the Los Angeles Dodgers running it back to back. I will say a seven game series, Los Angeles beats Detroit in the World Series. But that's going to be it here from episode number 46 of the Playoff Push Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Jack Dobbins, and have a great rest of your day.